I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, then.
Yeah, wow. You really set him off on a Friday, Kaplan. Great job.
I mean, think about that, George. It's like, not just he was in college, he had other things going on in his life at the time. He's a terrible, horrible human being.
I mean, I'm not willing to go that far, but it does seem like you've struck a nerve with young Christopher.
I know it. You're so right. You are so right indeed. How are you doing today on a Friday afternoon? You good, man?
I'm good. I'm excited for the Sam Darnold Redemption Tour. How about you?
Hey, now. Hey, I watched a lot of that game last night. Obviously, most of it was on at least the first half was on while we were on the air. Christian McCaffrey getting hurt in that game. I know that damaged a lot of people's fantasy team right away, including my 14-year-old daughter who somehow was able to get Christian McCaffrey in the second round of her fantasy draft.
I mean, good Lord, what kind of fantasy draft?
Who are these kids that are playing fantasy football with her, right? Yeah. These kids don't know anything. Sam Darnold, I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him. You know, to the Jets, it's just a terrible situation for whatever reason for everybody that's there. You know, you go back to the days of Keyshawn and Bill Parcells and stuff, and, you know, it's been a really long time. I guess, although I
can't they had the Rex Ryan 2 years or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, where they were
with
in the
Mark Sanchez
AFC championship game. Yeah.
Which really wasn't about Mark Sanchez. It was really about how great a defense they had. And then Mark Sanchez was later then exposed, basically.
But it was early in his career. As I recall, it may have been his rookie year and his second year that Mark Sanchez found himself in the postseason with the Jets. And he was being highly celebrated in New York City at that time.
Yeah, he was. But with Darnold, he was not being celebrated. And basically what it goes to show is the same thing you and I have talked about numerous times, right? Where you need stability around you. You need an organization from top to bottom. And not to say the Carolina Panthers is some sort of bastion of stability, but they're certainly more stable than the Jets. And they've got a good young coach who knows offense. They've got a hell of a defense. I mean, they're only giving up less than 200 yards a game through 3 weeks. And Sam is playing really good, smart football. Like, he's not turning the ball over. He's making plays with his feet. He's making plays with his arms. He's playing good complementary football. He doesn't have to be the savior every single play.
So just the eye test, I don't know if you observed this as well. He looks, I don't know if he looks thinner, fitter, more athletic, faster.
Well, he's always been athletic.
But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the uniform, if it's the color. I don't know if he lost 10 pounds. I mean, I really haven't been able to figure it out.
Well, he had mono with the Jets. How much more weight could he have lost?
I don't know, man. He just looked really, really athletic to me. And look, the numbers would tell you, nice game, 304 yards passing. And, 23 of 34, and he had a rushing touchdown. Two, as a matter of fact. And look, let's face it.
Well, by the way, do you realize that's the first time that a Panthers QB has had two rushing touchdowns in a game since 2013 with Cam Newton?
Oh, I was going to say, was that Cam Newton? Yeah. No, I guess I didn't realize that. But look, they're 3-0 Carolina, and I think that those of us that are interested in Sam Darnold, that's why we're following this. Did you know who Davis Mills, the quarterback of Houston, was last night?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know you know, but seriously, like,
I mean, you asked me though.
It was semi-rhetorical. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, no, but you literally said, "Do you know who this Mills kid is?" And I said, "Yes."
Yeah. Well, for most people who didn't know who Davis Mills was, this isn't Sam Mills. This isn't a linebacker. This is Davis Mills, the quarterback, rookie out of Stanford. Yeah. So I don't know. One thing I did enjoy about that game was the watching. Here's this young kid and here's this coach from Houston that is thrust into this terrible situation, and the love that he had for this kid and the way that he was coaching him up, it lasted for a half. It didn't really last the entire game, but I love stuff like that. When a coach is affectionate and is really, really intensely coaching somebody, that's something about sports that I really love is the camaraderie of a teammate to a coach or whatever. It just, that to me last night struck me while I was watching that game.
You've become a very like emo type in since the over the time that I've known you. Like
I'm
you
very
weren't always
mushy.
you weren't this mushy when I knew
I'm
you
mushy.
Before.
I'm skeptical. I mean, yesterday we had this whole conversation about things that, you know, I told you on Earth that I'm not 100%. Yesterday, Lindsay brought up this story about 20,000-year-old footprints that were found in New Mexico.
Right.
And I'm like,
you didn't believe those were actual footprints. Yes.
I'm not so sure. Right. So I'm skeptical. I'm still a natural-born skeptic. But the truth of the matter is I have become a mushy guy. Once I hit 50 years old and I'm right there, I don't know what happened. I think I hit menopause. But I'm mushy. That's all
yeah,
I can
Yeah, you
tell.
Are very mushy. Lindsay, how mushy is this? It's very mushy.
I mean, I'm not sure about the menopause crack there, but I think you're deep in your feelings, especially today.
Well there is there's menopause.
Right,
you know?
Menopause. There's menopause.
What's menopause?
Menopause. Okay, Lindsay, I'm glad you asked, as a matter
of
fact.
For somebody who takes testosterone shots, I would hope you're not suffering from menopause.
That's why you take the testosterone shots. When your testosterone gets low, you become emotional.
It's actually called andropause.
I'm mushy.
For men. Yeah, it's technically, menopause for men is called andropause.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right. I thought it was called.
And menopause. It is a testosterone deficiency. You're right.
Yeah. I'm mushy. Yeah. It's true. You know, George,
I mean, you are mushy.
Had my testosterone levels been right at the Black Gold Golf Course a couple weeks ago, I probably would have gotten at least 47, 48 push-ups. But because my testosterone was low.
Should have taken your shot that day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Should have taken it.
Yeah.
Should have taken it.
Yeah. So real quick. So we were talking about Sam, and it's a great redemption story. Now, Sam, look, I'm rooting for Sam. I think a lot of people are rooting for Sam. Obviously, a lot of SC fans here. And, you know, SC's taking on Oregon State this weekend. But there's a lot of stuff going on with SC, as we've documented and discussed here over the last couple of weeks. But there's a story in The Athletic. Okay. And I know that Bruce Feldman was on with Mason in Ireland. Bruce Feldman did the story with Antonio Morales, who covers USC. For The Athletic. He is their beat reporter. And basically, the story is titled How USC Crashed a Friggin' Ferrari of Talent and What It Means for the Next Head Coach. So, long story short, a lot of the stuff in there. Did you get a chance to read the story? I know I sent it to you about an hour and change ago, Captain.
Right.
Did you read
it all, or no?
Not
only did I read it, okay, but I just want to I want to say something before we get deeper into this story.
Yeah.
I think you owe me $36.
What do you mean I owe you $36 for what?
$35.99 to be exact.
Oh, because you subscribe to The Athletic.
Right. So So you send me this article from The Athletic about USC. I read
You
like
can write
first
that
paragraph.
Off on your taxes. That's a business expense.
That is true. I read the first paragraph, and the first paragraph's got me in trance. I'm like, ooh, I want to read the rest of this. So I scroll down, and it's like, no. You're not reading this article without getting a subscription. And I'm like, I think I had one, but I don't know my password. So I wound up buying another one. I don't know if I had it. I didn't have it. Long story short, they were able to give it to me for, they said, 50% off. So I got it for $35.99.
Good deal. And
what's today's date? Today is the 20th.
September 24th.
Okay, September 24th. Can somebody please do me a favor? On September 23rd of 2022, will someone please remind me that I either have to cancel my subscription to The Athletic, otherwise it's going to get renewed and I'm going to pay twice as much, Or I got to take it on. You know, I got to cancel it or I got to take it on.
Well, why don't you just set yourself a calendar reminder?
Yeah, you can just do that.
On your phone.
So no one here is going to do that for me, clearly. I mean,
you can do it yourself
on your phone.
Yeah. All right, I'm doing that. Okay, keep going.
All right, so anyway, the damn story about USC, okay?
Yeah.
What were your takeaways from that? Because I feel like you owe me an apology. Because everything we talked about, when you were sitting here saying, maybe there'll be revisionist history about letting go of Clay Helton. And I sat here and I told you about how Clay Helton didn't connect with the players in the high school level, that the coaches didn't trust him at the high school level. They didn't believe in him, that they were running a country club, that he didn't recruit the inner city well, that he lost all the best California kids because the coaches and kids didn't buy into him, that they were just on cruise control. All the things I said are literally quotes in this story from USC people and coaches.
Are you like the unnamed sources in this story?
No, because I'm not a former USC assistant. I'm not a former USC player. I'm not a local high school coach or a current NFL player who played for USC.
Or a parent of a former player.
Correct. I'm none of those things. But all the things you argue with me about for two straight segments, okay, that I told you this is the problem with SC. And I specifically cited Bryce Young and all these kids, the kid that went to Oregon who's going to end up being the number one overall pick, the defensive player, like all these kids and all these issues that people had with Clay for as nice a man as he was. Yeah, like all those issues are highlighted in this Bruce Feldman, Antonio Morales story.
I will tell you this. My biggest takeaway from that article, George, was not all the stuff you just said. My biggest takeaway was the word laziness in this article. Yeah. The claim was that the USC coaching staff under Clay Helton was lazy. In fact, they named certain assistant coaches by name in this article.
Clancy Pendergrass didn't even like to recruit the defensive coordinator.
Not just didn't like it, didn't do it.
He right. didn't have to do it.
Yeah. You know, this is why, just as a side note here, when we talk about a name like an Eric Bieniemy, just as an example, okay, we think that he can recruit. Because we look at him and we go, he played here in his high school ball in L.A. He was a great player in college at Colorado. He's been an NFL player. He's been a longstanding NFL assistant coach. He's a young African-American man who can, you assume, go into the inner city and recruit. But the thing is that when you're an NFL coach for 20 years and then you become a college coach, look, there's some recruiting in pro football where you're trying to get free agents. And there's some what I would call scouting and recruiting because of the combine, and they break down film on potential draft choices. But recruiting is a whole different animal. I've never read anybody ever claim that a college football coaching staff was lazy and that certain guys on the staff didn't want to and therefore were not required to recruit. I've just never heard of anything like that before. Nothing.
Okay, well, that's how bad it was. And this is why I was telling you, as much as I think Clay's a nice man, he had to go because this whole thing was a disaster under him.
Well, if he had to go, losing to Stanford in week two is not solely the reason why he had to go.
No, that was the cherry on top.
I know, but it leads me to think, and this is why I said to you the other day, there could be, by the end of the season, some regret in creating turmoil because if the recruiting has been as bad as this article claims it's been, and look.
I mean, you know, hold on. What do you mean claims? I mean, look at the rosters and look at the rankings and look at all those things.
But, you know, these rankings to me, oh, George, these high school recruiting rankings, I really, again, skepticism. I'm highly skeptical.
Okay, forget that then, and that's fine. I am skeptical of it as well. I believe, because there is plenty in that story that talks about how coaches will call these places and say, hey, give the kid a four-star thing so I can commit to him. So I agree, but the lack of NFL talent, okay, on these rosters that USC has had, because if you look at where they're at as far as how many players in the NFL, they're nowhere near the top, and they were just a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, the second part of my takeaway from the article, the first part was laziness. Coaches who refuse to, and it's accepted in the program, they don't want to and therefore will not recruit. Laziness was my first takeaway.
Yeah.
The second takeaway is the lack of development. That is another interesting claim in this article, that you've gone out, you've gotten quality talent, you've had decent enough recruits, and those guys aren't turning into big-time players, that there's a whole issue when it comes to talent development. Now, that to me is another issue, you know, and so I think those, for me, are the two big things. You know, when you did have talent, you didn't turn it into NFL talent. And it's not about how many guys get to the NFL, it's about how many guys can play at that level is what I'm getting at. We judge it. The metric we use is how many guys get onto the NFL. Listen, there are plenty of college football teams out there that produce NFL talent that just don't win. You know, they've got good talent, but they don't win.
No, wait, stop. How many schools regularly put guys in the NFL and don't win? I don't believe that to be true anymore.
Oh, listen, I believe it to be true plenty. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like Florida State, for instance. You know,
they haven't put guys in the NFL in years.
Really?
Like, not good ones.
Well, I mean, there's this running back up in Minnesota who's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, but how long ago was that, bro? He's been in the league for like five years.
3 years ago? 4 years ago? My point
is... Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, look at the last 4 or 5 years, damn it. How many guys?
Well,
you know?
Listen, my answer to you is, off the top of my head, honestly, I don't know. I pulled Florida State right out of my you-know-what.
Okay, but, so let me... I can tell you right here, based on the 2021 rosters. Here it is. okay? Number one, take a guess.
Alabama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, take a guess.
Clemson.
No, but keep going.
Ohio State.
Yep, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number three.
Clemson.
Oh, LSU.
Okay. Now, okay, yeah. LSU's a good example.
LSU's bad this year, bro. Okay, you know what I'm saying? They won a national championship 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, keep going. I'm listening.
All right, Georgia. They're in the SEC championship game almost every year now in the SEC East.
Okay,
Georgia's not arguable. That is exactly
what
happened.
How many years in a row has Georgia been in the SEC championship game? You'll have to tell me.
I mean, at least, if I recall correctly, at least two out of the last three, maybe three out of the last four.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, Notre Dame. Who has been a perennial 10-11 win team since Brian Kelly has been there? And then there's Clemson. So there you go.
Okay, so tell me about teams like, for example, if you just keep going down the list, where's USC? Where is Miami? Where's Florida State?
Way down the list.
Where's Penn State?
I will tell you. Miami.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Miami, I mean, I don't realize why this even matters, but Miami is, let me see, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th on the list.
Okay, so there's an example. So I'm just giving you an example. There's a school that produces NFL talent, but let's face it, they're not really winning that much.
But
not
they've like been in the top 25 at least for the last 5 years. Like
they've,
USC
they've
has
been in and been knocked out. Okay, keep
okay,
going.
Okay, fine, but they're at least a top 25 program. Like you know, this year they're dealing with the ramifications of not recruiting well and dealing with USC. So you're giving me the one outlier. I literally gave you the top six teams, and they're all teams that have either been in the national championship game or in the playoff.
So those schools that you've just mentioned,
right,
are the top programs in the country,
right? And they put the most NFL talent on the field. So
that makes all the sense in the world. Now, where does SC rank in all of this?
SC is even further down than Miami's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Okay, so they're not producing NFL talent, number one. They're not sniffing the college football playoff, number two. And they're not winning nearly enough for what the history and the reputation of the program is.
By the way, there are more UCLA players in the NFL right now than USC players.
Okay, great. You've just helped me out. That's my point.
But that's an outlier, Kaplan, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, the top six programs are the top NFL producing programs.
And that was my point.
And my point is that there are lots of other programs
down the list. But your argument with me was literally that you said that you don't agree that the top programs put the most NFL talent on the field.
That's not what I said.
That is, roll the damn tape.
Yeah, roll it. Roll that.
Roll
tape.
The tape, Briones, on the other side. Yeah. Find that. Find that, because that is exactly what you said.
Well, when you say top programs, by the way, look at all those programs that are in that top 20 of producing NFL talent, and then six of them compete for a national championship. Lots of other ones produce NFL talent and just don't win nearly enough.
Of course, because there's 200 picks in every draft, Kaplan. But the top six, that's not an argument to be made that the best teams produce NFL talent. Like, what are you arguing here?
What I'm arguing is that there are plenty of schools that produce NFL talent that don't
win. Of course, because there's 200 picks in seven rounds. So they don't have 200 guys on a roster.
I don't know, man, but I like getting you unwound.
You got to be 3 years into your college career to even be drafted. Like, of course, there's not even Alabama doesn't have 20 draft eligible guys every year. They may have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 max. Like, what are we talking about here? That's just simple math.
The question you just asked, what are we talking about here? My answer to you is, I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, I clearly lost it too, but we'll find out because I know what the hell you said.
I'm mushy.
Briones will find it, and we're way over the break, and Kiki's now got to figure some stuff out with other stations because of your ass.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you have a favorite Muppet?
Well, I didn't have to watch the Muppets on Nick at Night, just so everybody knows. I actually was able to watch the Muppets in real time, if you will, because I'm a man, I'm 50. I did like Miss Piggy. There was a sexiness there. I liked Kermit. There was a certain innocence there. But I did like the two old guys that were the critics that sat up top. You could imagine, you know, just the old crusty guys that sit up there and rip everybody. So I like those guys, too. How about you?
Stadler and Waldorf.
Is that what their names were?
Yes.
Yes, they were my favorite, too.
Yeah, I like those guys.
Yeah.
I think Morales called Mason and Ireland them once or twice in the past.
I actually did, too, in a loving way. To their face, though, when we used to do Purgatory.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
All love. Mm.
All right. So, George, I was just looking through some lists of college football programs mm-hmm. that produce a lot of NFL talent. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Does Michigan provide a lot of players to the NFL?
They're in the top 10, I presume. Yeah.
Do they win a lot? I mean, in the last 4 or 5 years under Jim Harbaugh, have they sniffed a title?
Here's where you're missing the point.
Yeah, let me hear.
How many years do guys play in the NFL?
On average, about 3.4.
Correct, but there are plenty of guys on active rosters who have been in the league over a decade.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Let me just do it this way. Here's the math, bro, okay? There are 1,696 players on a roster in the National Football League, okay? 53-man rosters. I'm not even including practice squad. 53-man rosters. Mm-hmm. 32 teams, 1,696. Okay. Do you want to know how many of them come from the SEC? Like what percentage?
I would guess. I'll take a shot here. I'll guess the SEC provides the NFL with 30% of its players.
No, it's 20, but that's still pretty damn humongous when you consider that there are way more than just one conference in the in college football.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
20% come from one conference.
Okay.
What does that tell you?
Tells me that the SEC is far and away the most talented conference in all of college football. What does it tell you?
It tells me that, too. And what it tells me is that the teams there, like LSU and Alabama and Georgia and Florida and whatever, the teams that are generally at the top, are the teams that are putting the most talent in the NFL, and that's why they're good, which was the discussion we were trying to have, or at least I was trying to have, which you then said you disagreed. But if you disagreed and didn't understand what I was actually saying, that one's on you, brother.
Yeah, maybe it is, but I'm just going to say this. Here's what I said, or at least what I think I said, and this is the point I was trying to make. There are lots of schools around college football that provide talent to the NFL. And guess what? They just don't win that much. So what I'm saying is that the metric that we're using to judge USC is how much NFL talent do they produce. Okay, they can still produce a lot of NFL talent and be like a lot of other schools where they just don't win. George, let me give you a quick
example. By the way, do you want to know the last time they produced NFL talent?
Yeah, go ahead.
When they went to the Rose Bowl with Sam Darnold.
That was the last time they've produced anybody.
They were the number one Pac-12 team as far as NFL players on their roster.
Okay.
And now they're not.
Okay, well,
they're behind several teams, including UCLA, who's not even good. What does that tell you about how far they've fallen?
Well, now that's interesting, because the question is, are they not recruiting good talent? Or, and this was my takeaway from the piece, are they not developing good talent?
It's both. It's what you were trying to argue with me. I've never disputed the lack of development. Of course, that's obvious. But the fact that you were arguing with me the other day about like Bryce Young, who went to Cathedral and Matter Day, and like wanted to go to SC, was committed to SC, and was like, this Clay Helton stuff isn't for me. And it's like, yo, Nick Saban, I'm coming to you.
Well,
and the DJ Uiagalelei.
Yep.
Clemson, the same thing. All these kids wanted to come to SC.
Well, the piece talked about how the lack of stability, because there were so many rumors about Clay Helton's future, I mean, that turned a lot of the biggest stars of Southern California high school football, specifically those that play in the Southern section or play in the – I'm trying to think what the name of the other section is where it's all the big private schools. Regardless, those kids got turned off by that lack of stability, you know, and not knowing who the coach was going to be eventually. But listen, you know, that's a claim and it's an understandable one. But I will just say this. There are a lot of times when kids from Southern California decide, you know what, I'd like to leave and I'd like to go
Why
check out
Why are you
what
making excuses for this guy who's not here, who clearly did a bad job? They just wrote an entire story that's like 5,000 words about how bad he was, even though he was a nice man. And including the stuff I'm telling you, reported by the guy who's probably the best college football reporter in the country.
Why am I
disputing it? How are
it?
You disputing this?
I'm not really disputing it. What I'm saying is this.
You're saying that guys want to go play elsewhere. Sure, there are some of those. But no, what they're telling you in this story, and what I'm telling you for a fact, is that these kids wanted to go to SC, and they thought Clay was basically made of clay.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Why did they wait until now? Why did they wait until two games into the season, one ridiculously embarrassing blowout loss to Stanford in week two, if everything that's been written in this piece is true, and let's go with it for a minute and assume that it all is, why would they have waited? Why did they think at SC, we've surrounded him with more resources, we've improved the facilities, we're kind of still just living on the reputation and the history of our program? College football has changed so significantly. When I went to college, it was all about history. It was all about tradition. They would drill it into our heads, George. Tony Dorsett played here, and Dan Marino played right here. And years before that, Hugh Green played here, and Bill Frelick played here. And even years before that, Marty Schottenheimer played here, and Jock Sutherland coached here. I
mean, we get
they
it.
Taught us.
We get
they
it.
Taught
we
us the it. History. They drilled yes. it into our heads.
Yes.
And the history of the program was important. I don't think that's the case today in college football. So recruiting based on history and tradition, dude, throw that out the window.
Here's Nobody's saying that it's about history and tradition. I'm telling you factually, these kids were committed to SC and then decided, not
that's
doing
what
it.
I'm asking. Then if that's the case, and if recruiting has been so bad at SC, one of the things in that piece was SC's recruiting was number one in the Pac-12, and it was down to like down at the bottom of the conference. So if that's the case and the school...
They were 64th one year nationally.
Can you imagine USC is 64th in recruiting class?
That's the whole point.
I mean, dude, that's like saying Coastal Carolina has a better recruiting class than USC. If that's the case and the school and the athletic department and everybody knew it, then my question ultimately is, what the hell were you guys waiting for?
Thank you. Well, that's what everybody else was screaming, too. Now, do you have the cut, Briones, to hear what he actually said?
It's not about how many guys get to the NFL. It's about how many guys can play at that level is what I'm getting at. We judge it. The metric we use is how many guys get onto the NFL. Listen, there are plenty of college football teams out there that produce NFL talent that just don't win. You know, they've got good talent, but they don't win.
No, wait, stop. How many schools regularly put guys in the NFL and don't win? I don't believe that to be true anymore.
Oh, listen, I believe it to be true plenty. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like Florida State, for instance.
You can stop it right there. You know, they haven't put guys in the NFL in years.
Really?
Like, not good ones.
Well, I mean, there's this running back up in Minnesota who's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, but how long ago was that, bro? He's been in the league for like
ago?
5 years.
3 years ago? 4 years ago? My point
yeah,
is...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, look at the last 4 or 5 years, damn it. How many guys?
Well,
you know?
Listen, my answer to you is, off the top of my head, honestly, I don't know. I pulled Florida State right out of my you-know-what.
I mean, it's literally the thing you said you didn't say.
No. It's exactly what I said.
And oh, my God! Are you serious?
Oh, man.
1,000%.
Okay,
1,000%.
Hold on, we need to break this down. Briones, you need to break the thing down in pieces because all he's listening to is the middle part.
No, hold on.
Listen, he's only listening to the middle part where he says the thing that he's been trying to repeat, except he misses the front part and the back part where he's basically not saying the thing he thinks he's
saying. What I'm saying is...
Say it on the other side because we're up against the break.
All right,
say it on the other side.
Say it again. Yep.
We're up against the break. All right, we will do that. Plus... Laker fans, there is a message that needs to be conveyed, and we'll tell you what that is next.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We will be playing a special edition of The Price is Right because Kaplan doesn't shop. Some groceries. You don't do any groceries?
No. I like the grocery store. I do. Okay, but I feel like if I were to go to the grocery store right now and I were to say, you know, how much does this cost? How much is a dozen eggs?
A dozen eggs? Yeah. I'd say probably like $4 or $5.
Okay.
Well, wait, I did like weird things that you can buy.
Yeah, I was just talking about the grocery store. You know what I mean? Like if I went into the grocery store right now and I needed to buy like a big thing of cheese, you know, like shredded cheese, and you said to me, how much is that going to cost?
Oh, you mean like one of those like little baggies of shredded cheese, like the Ziploc?
Well, you know, like the big baggies with the, like the Mexican cheese with like
no, yeah. Or mozzarella or whatever.
How much is it? $3.99? $4.99?
Yeah, I would say like $3 or $4. Yeah.
$6.49.
So you're doing weird things, Lindsay? Like what kind of weird things? Like give us an example just so we have an idea.
Well, Carlo was nice enough to post out on the ESPN LA Twitter account, which I retweeted. Mm-hmm. One of them being, for example, a dog afro curly wig.
Oh, come on.
Wig for your dog. Yeah.
A what?
A wig for your dog. It's hilarious.
A wig for your dog.
Look at the picture. Look at the picture. Who does not want to buy this after looking at this picture of the dog? Like, let's be serious.
A wig for your dog. I don't really have anybody who has a wig on their dog. I know people that put like sweatshirts on their dog, you know?
Well, that's why I'm going to tell you how much it costs so you can know how much if you wanted to buy it.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
Weird things on Amazon that you can actually buy.
Okay. Oh, so that is the conversation. Oh, I thought we were doing like grocery store stuff. Okay. That's fine. We can do weird stuff on Amazon. Like, I'm totally fine with that. All right, let's finish this. So, Kaplan.
Yes, sir.
I am clearly exasperated. For those that are just tuning in, we were talking about SC, okay? And the story that Bruce Feldman and Antonio Morales did in The Athletic about everything that's gone on at USC over the last several years. They interviewed a bunch of people off the record about how disastrous. If you thought the USC stuff was bad, it was worse than you thought, basically. And we got into this discussion about how they are no longer a team that puts a ton of NFL talent on NFL rosters. And I said, just kind of in a drive-by, you know, and that's a big reason as to why you're not good. Because I said the best teams in college football are putting guys in the NFL. And you said you didn't agree. And then you went on to elaborate about how guys, of course, there's guys from schools that aren't that good that get in the NFL, to which I responded to you, because there's 200 players in every draft, and there's 53 guys on a roster, 1,700 players, basically. Of course, you're going to have guys from all over the place. You know, like, it's not going to be just one particular, like, school. But you said you did not say, okay, you said you did not say that it was, that you didn't agree that the best teams in college football put the most players in the NFL. So Briones went back. This is not doctored. This is you and me having this conversation.
Okay, let me hear it. And by the way,
just play the first 20 seconds.
If I have to stand corrected, I will. But I just want to say this. My point was, there are programs around the country that put lots of talent in
NFL
that do not win. That was my point.
Sure. No, of course. Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State.
But
he plays in the NFL.
That's a small example. Listen, George, I'm talking about schools like a Penn State, for example.
Penn State is good.
But when was the last time they sniffed the playoff? When was the last time they won a conference championship? I'm saying to you that they'll win 8 games in a year and they'll provide a ton of talent to the NFL, but that's kind of where SC is. is that SC might win 8 games in a year, which is not really good enough for SC, but they'll still provide talent in the NFL, but they're not, they can win 8 games and put a lot of talent in the NFL. That can happen. Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, these kinds of schools, they're going to win and be close to the national championship, and they're going to provide a ton of talent to the NFL.
I mean, James Franklin has been there. Now, last year was a weird year in the Big Ten, obviously. But James Franklin is 3-0, 4-5 last year is a weird year. 11-2, 9-4, 11-2, 11-3. So Penn State has been good
very
for
good. Those are good
six
records.
Seasons now.
Those are basically. Good records. Those are good records.
Yeah.
So,
Okay, I'm not arguing about Penn State. Like, forget it. Yes, Kaplan. Of course there are going to be schools that are going to put on NFL talent on NFL rosters because there's a lot of players in the NFL. What I'm telling you is, and the argument was initially, yo, the best schools in the country in college football are the schools that put the most NFL talent on the field. And here's how that conversation went.
It's not about how many guys get to the NFL. It's about how many guys can play at that level is what I'm getting at. We judge it. The metric we use is how many guys get onto the NFL. Listen, there are plenty of college football teams
out
there.
So then you went to say the thing you just said
just
again, like for the 37th time.
Then what did I say? Then what is it that you said that I said?
Wait, stop.
That
how many,
started this
how many schools?
Right, stop, Brian. Yeah.
I mean, really? You are literally disputing that I said what I said. Like that the best schools in college football are the teams that put the most NFL talent on the field.
I don't hear that. You'll have to excuse me. I just don't hear that.
Play it one more time.
It's not about how many guys get to the NFL. It's about how
stop,
many guys...
Stop! Stop right there! It's not about how many guys get to the NFL. What
right.
does that connote?
Well, what we were talking about was if you're USC, do you develop the talent to get them to the NFL? Not do you recruit great players in high school that 3 years later are so talented that they jump to the NFL.
Yeah, por favor.
Is,
you said it. Yeah, por favor.
Am I taking crazy pills?
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Seriously. And I think the more you yell, George, the more Briones just agrees with you.
Am I taking Whoa. Crazy pills?
Whoa.
Lindsay, have I lost my mind, or are you hearing what I'm hearing?
I mean, he's literally repeating back to you exactly what you just said, Cap, and then you're saying you didn't say that.
guys, this
if
is getting ridiculous.
Meant,
this is honestly getting ridiculous
if
right
that's
now.
Not
seriously.
If you meant, then clarify that.
Well, wait. Say that again, Lindsay.
I said there's a difference between I didn't say that and I didn't mean that. So if that's not what you meant, then clarify
Correct.
That.
All right, you guys have lost me here. You guys have totally spun me round and round.
Oh, man.
I'm like,
what are you,
like,
Spinderella?
Honestly,
like, what is this?
Like you listen, here's what I'm going to tell you guys, okay? Here's my experience, George, okay? Here goes.
Yeah.
I played in college on a bunch of terrible college football teams. And you want to know something? We produced year after year first-round draft choices, multiple second-round draft choices, third rounders, guys who became Pro Football Hall of Famers, assistant coaches that were young at the time who all became NFL head coaches, et cetera, et cetera. My point is that there's plenty of schools that provide talent. I'm not talking about one guy at North Dakota State. I'm talking about programs that year in and year out consistently provide NFL talent.
I understand.
Just don't win enough.
Yes, Scott, because there's 1,700 players every year in the NFL, and they rotate in and out on different levels at different times of their careers. So, of course, there's going to be players from teams that aren't Alabama and Clemson because they only have so many guys that are draft eligible every year. Like, it's just a math equation, man.
I'm talking programs, not individual players. But listen, we can go round and round and round all day. Let's get back to the story. The story is SC was not recruiting and not getting the best talent like they used to. Agree or disagree?
Yes.
Okay. And SC, under Clay Helton, was not developing the amount of NFL talent that they were previous. Agree or disagree?
Yes.
Okay. So here's my question.
Yes.
Regardless of what I said and what you said and all this round and round and round, bottom line, why did USC not deal with this sooner? Why did they wait until 2 weeks into this season to make this kind of a change? If everything that was published in that article is right and everybody knew it, what the hell was everybody waiting for?
That's literally what everybody's been screaming about for the last 3 seasons.
Well, it's a good question.
That's what they've been screaming about for the last three seasons. That's why there was apathy at the Coliseum. Now, look, outside of a few games here and there, nobody's filling 90,000 seats every week at the Coliseum. But when you're getting apathy like they were, which was, you know, I don't know, 50, 40, you know, maybe close to 60 for certain games. Like, that should have been their tell-all sign. It's why people, and I normally don't side with the fans on these things, but it's why the fans wanted him out. And it's why a lot of people turned on him, despite how nice he was. All right, we're going to play this Price is Right game coming up next. We're going to do that. I never got to the LeBron and the Lakers stuff. The Lakers, there's a message that's being conveyed to the Lakers. We'll tell you what that message is. Whew! I need a beer already on Friday because our head is being spun right round like Flo Rida.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wow. On the same date, two of the most iconic albums
in rock history. I'm surprised by that. Like, two albums that went on to become as great as they were, two bands. I mean, one, the Red Hot Chili Peppers can still today, I mean, they can go anywhere in the world and just sell out and rock the place. And obviously Nirvana, we know what happened to Kurt Cobain. But, I mean, if you're a Nirvana fan, I think you probably roll right into the Foo Fighters like I know I did. But, man, these two albums on the same day? Can't believe that.
On the Foo Fighters. It's fine. Like, they're okay.
Yeah.
I don't like, seek them out. Like,
oh, my God. The Foo Fighters, first of all, they've got a ton of great songs, number one.
They
but
do.
In terms of performance, I mean, Dave Grohl, this is one of my favorite things at a concert. I love when a lead singer catches his breath or her breath and talks to the audience. Dave Grohl talking to the audience all day long. Seriously, like in between songs, he got a whole bunch of other stuff to say. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine.
Like, shut up and sing, play song.
Yeah, they're fine. Like, you would not. Now, I've seen the Foo Fighters had this great documentary series on HBO a number of years ago. I want to say back in like 2014, 15, in that range somewhere, maybe 16, called Sonic Highways. And they would go to each city and kind of do the history of each town's music, and they would meet with all these local musicians, and then they would perform a song that they that would kind of be like almost like a tribute to that particular town, and it was an awesome docuseries. However, as much as I like Dave Grohl personally, he seems like a really nice guy, and he is very much intertwined into the history of rock music because of his time with Nirvana and his success there afterwards. Not a band that I'm like, hey, let's go to the Foo Fighters concert.
Oh my God.
Just not for me.
Oh, my God. Anytime I have a chance to see the Foo Fighters, I saw them a couple years at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. They put on such an amazing show. I saw them at a music festival down in Del Mar called Kaboo a few years ago. That was out of this world. But
the Foo at Kaboo?
That's right. That's right. And one of my favorite tribute bands, just by the way, George, I love tribute bands nowadays.
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters. I love those guys. But I also got to say, I'm a huge, huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Yeah, they're great.
I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers a few years ago when Flea had been injured. This was their first show back, and I saw them play in a tiny little venue, probably about 300 people or so. When you see a stadium band in a tiny venue, oh, man, do you get spoiled. You're like, I don't ever want to go to a stadium again. I want to see everybody I want in a tiny little venue. And, of course, it rarely happens, but that was Flea's first show back after being injured on the injured reserve for like 6 months. To see the Red Hot Chili Peppers play in front of about 300 people, amazing.
Well, it's why people go to Vegas to see these big acts play in these little small, intimate 4,000 or 5,000 seat arenas, you know, or theaters or whatever they are, you know?
I was reading today, this morning, in the LA Times that Kurt Cobain's widow, Courtney Love.
Yes.
Was saying that on the album, Nevermind, we're talking about this album that came out 30 years ago, she didn't think that the first single, which was Smells Like Teen Spirit, she didn't think that should have been the first single released. She said In Bloom, for those of you that know that album,
yeah,
is a far better song. So when I read that this morning, I had to go and, like, you know, go to YouTube and watch and listen to all these songs. And I got to say, Courtney, if you're listening this afternoon, I'm with you, girl. I think In Bloom is far and away the better song than Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Well, but Smells Like Teen Spirit, it was more about the video that got people all excited because it was a bunch of kids in a high school gym and all that stuff. And that's what it attracted.
Yeah, and isn't, like, a single supposed to be, like, a catchy tune you could play on the radio? Whereas
right.
In Bloom might be the better song, but I don't think it's going to catch on the radio.
It was not the catchier song.
Well, that's probably why radio executives decided to go in that direction. Now, isn't the girl, the little girl that was a baby that was naked on the album cover? Oh, a little boy?
Yeah. Yes.
You sure?
I'm sure, because I'm pretty sure of a very... you know, obvious part that's floating in the pool.
Yeah, there's a thing.
Really?
Yeah,
I'll have to go look that up. But isn't somebody suing somebody over that all these years later?
He's trying to sue them for it all these years later and saying that they didn't have his permission. But what happened was his parents signed something saying that they could use this photo.
Yeah, bro, your parents screwed you. Yeah, exactly.
They made a bunch of money off of it, and now he's mad.
Yeah, sorry, bro. It's your parents' problem. Go blame them, you know? All right. A lot of blame will go around if the Lakers season doesn't turn out right. Now, Rob Pelinka had an interesting message when he was talking to the media recently. And he said that the Lakers need to be unselfish. And he was referring to, look, there's a lot of guys in this roster that are used to having a certain amount of touches. You know, everyone's talked about their age. But that is a part of the equation that not enough people are discussing. There's way more talk about their age and less about the fit, Kaplan. And I do think the fit part of it, to me, is far more fascinating than the age. The age is the obvious place to go, but they're going to win and lose based on the fit.
Well, that is why, in my opinion, George, that is why LeBron James, who is a very smart general manager and a very smart head coach and an excellent basketball executive beyond being the third best player in the NBA, LeBron James knows this. He knows that we've got a new superstar in Russell Westbrook, and we've gone out and we've added some name guys. Rondo comes back. Carmelo, obviously, one of the big names that they went out and got, bringing Trevor Ariza back. These are huge names, and everybody's going to have a role, but everybody got to understand what their role is, because all we collectively are trying to do is win a championship. So everybody check your ego at the door, except me, because I'm LeBron, and I get to have a bit of an ego because I'm telling everybody what to do, which is why I'm throwing this training camp here, players only, up in Las Vegas, okay? But that's why I think LeBron is throwing this thing before training camp starts, because everybody got to understand what their role is and how they're all going to fit based on how LeBron wants everybody to play.
Yeah, and look, these teams all have to sacrifice in one way, shape, or form, right? When you put these type of teams together that are trying to win championships, and it's something that Pelinka alluded to. Let's take a listen.
When this group of guys is in the gym or around each other, there's a respect for, hey, we have a chance to do something special this year, and we all have to make sacrifices to get there. And I think this group shares that common belief in the assumption that sacrifices will have to be made, but there's something greater that we can accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean we walk in the gym and we're contenders. It means we walk in the gym with a belief in one another and a belief that we're going to put in that work to get there. And this is a serious group of guys.
Yeah, and I think that they are going to, you know, it's not always going to be pretty. I think there'll be some messy nights because it's 82 games. But I think that the key is to get better each and every month, right? Like, it's kind of like a football season, right? Where in the NFL, you know, Keyshawn always says you take it in quarters, right? Take it in four games at a time. Well, in this case, now there's 17 games, so it's a little different probably.
Take it in 4.25.
Right, games? Whatever. Four, 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 and five. How about that? Let's just do it that way. But that is similar in the NBA. Every month, you want to kind of see where you're at. And by the All-Star break, you want to start to turn a corner, right? Like, I think that that's generally how people want to see it. All right, we didn't do the Price is Right game. We'll do it in the next hour. Coming up next, we got a lot of things for you. So the Dodgers' historic season is at stake here, okay? We'll get to that in a bit. Plus, we have a game we're going to play called Upset Special with the NFL weekend upon us here. We're going to do all that this hour coming up, plus Radio Tinder at 5:30. Stick around. We're back in a couple minutes.